Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
Here we go again. The sounds of ice being blasted apart along the Buffalo River as ice jams again threaten.
Breaking the ice with the long arm excavator is really important at bridges. The ice is much thicker there because the sun doesn't get at it.
The fireboat cotter is on the job.
Keel was laid in 1900. It was built as an icebreaker. They had a couple other fireboats previously, so this is her main purpose.
The recipe, it's simple. Warmer temps, snow melt, maybe a little rain. Then the devastating damages from ice jam flooding threaten.
A lot of general contents you'd have in the basement, if your basement's finished, quite often that's not going to be covered.
I'm Tim Wenger on 9:30 and 716. Hard to fathom after enduring a blizzard last week and temperatures more suited for the polar region. But their dramatic weekend warm-up has area creeks and waterways full to the brim and laden with ice jams on the surface. If they're moving, all is well. But when the jam stops and the water rises as a result, we all know what happens.
The weather, the warm-up continues, and rising temperatures plus sun have generated runoff in the creeks and streams that flow into Buffalo River and Cazenovia Creek.
Mike Finn is a city engineer and deputy streets commissioner, talking here on the Seneca Street Bridge over the Buffalo River near Elk Street.
Water flow has been steadily increasing since this morning, and we anticipate that the flow rate will increase through tomorrow. And there's also rain in the forecast tonight, which will increase that further. The cotter ran Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Broke up as much ice as the cotter can get at in the Buffalo River, all the way from Buffalo Harbor up to just downstream of the Bailey Bridges. Yesterday, West Seneca and Buffalo teamed up to break ice with the long arm excavator. We started work at the South Ogden Bridge in the city, and then West Seneca took over and moved that excavator out into Union Road Bridge and Harlem Road Bridge to continue that effort. Today, Buffalo DPW is out with the long arm excavator, and I do want to thank BIDCO for providing that through us. They've been a great resource to us. Breaking the ice with the long arm excavator is really important at bridges. The ice is much thicker there because the sun doesn't get at it. What the guys are finding here is that the ice underneath the bridge was 2 feet thick, and the ice immediately adjacent to it where it was getting sunshine on it was only 6 inches. So that's really important for us to kind of dig that thicker ice out, so to prevent ice jams. We've been in constant communication with our partners at state, county, and local governments. So everyone is aware of what everyone else is doing, and we're maximizing the use of resources. We've also been provided from the state sandbags, generators, and pumps, all for use in mitigating potential impacts that happen throughout the day. For the rest of today, our plan is we're going to continue with a long arm excavator. After here, we're going to go to the Cazenovia Creek bridges and break ice at all those. And then our ice monitors will be working throughout the day into tonight and potentially into tomorrow, as long as the ice jam event is in effect. With that, I'll open it up to questions.
This isn't your first time going through this. I mean, where would you stack where we're at, you know, with what you've seen previously? Is this...
Well, every ice event is different. This one, I would stack right in the middle so far. We've had a steady increase of temperatures, which is good, because we're seeing a steady increase in water flow. But again, every single event is different, and that's why we are taking all the precautions necessary, and we'll have monitors out throughout the entire event to monitor and report on the status.
Is there anything that homeowners nearby need to watch out for, that sort of thing, advice you can give homeowners?
Yep. Our advice to homeowners, for those who have concerns, if you have valuables in your basement, you know, it's always good to move those to a higher location. You could also, if your home is conducive to it and you have a floor drain, look into plugging that to prevent water from backing up into your basement.
As far as the rain, how big of a concern is that?
The rain is a bit of a concern. The forecast that National Weather Service put out had about a quarter inch, which will add to it. However, you know, we'll continue to monitor and watch throughout the event and just make sure that, you know, whatever we need to do is able to be done. Not a major concern, I would say, at this point, but we'll watch.
It's interesting you bring up the basement drain thing. I mean, most people around here are used to hearing about sump pumps to pump it out, but we have a lot of older infrastructure, or homes, I should say, that have that drain, and you're saying that people should block that.
If you can, yes, because that will prevent the water from actually rising up into the basement.
How effective has breaking the ice been so far into preventing what's, as we're in the middle of this process?
So far, I think our efforts have been successful at breaking ice. As I mentioned before, the ice underneath the bridges is thicker and prevents a higher risk of jamming. So loosening that up in advance of the ice flow is definitely a big help.
We're plugging away.
Fireboat Cotter Captain John Sixt at the helm of the Big Red Boat, known more for its plumes of water on the Buffalo Harbor in summertime. It's really an icebreaker by design and blasts away at the tough river ice.
Just because of the thickness, I just can't keep going forward. The engines are, you know, old and tired, as we all know. So it's just easier to get a running start to make a little headway. You don't want to get hung up on anything.
You know, you see some of the onlookers that are, you know, gathering on the shoreline and looking. There's a lot of fascination. I've seen it in, you know, some of the things I've posted on social media today. It's incredible that, you know, a lot of us just don't know that this capability is here with the Fireboat Cotter.
Yeah, most people don't, because they see us out in the summer throwing water. And, you know, they obviously know it's a fireboat and it's used for other fire duties. But this is, again, was the main purpose of the boat when the keel was laid in 1900. It was built as an icebreaker, because they had a couple other fireboats previously. So this is her main purpose. It's, again, we just go quietly, do our job, and when the job is done, people don't really think about anything. So it's a nice little quiet thing we do.
It's not so quiet. All right, last question. We're heading up to these concrete piers here. This is the point where we do need to turn around. What's the rest of the agenda for the afternoon?
That is correct. We lose all of our depth once we get past the abutment here. So what we're going to do is just start clearing a little bit on the way back, wait for CSX to get their bridge up, and slowly make our way back, just clearing another path or two if we can.
Despite all the efforts, some flooding will likely result. There will be damages, and property owners will be turning to their insurance agents.
One of the things that they would need to do is notify the insurance company or their agent immediately.
Ron Papa of National Fire Adjustment says it's important to know your policy.
And there is the National Flood Insurance Program that sells insurance. But quite often, if you have a backup buffer sewer and drain, that might be covered under your homeowner's policy. So you would want to look towards that first if you could. Also, if you have a water line that broke in your house, that would be covered under your traditional homeowner's policy as well. But if you have water that's seepage or groundwater that enters your house that way, then and if there's no water line that's broken or a backup of a sewer or a drain, then that would normally be covered if you have insurance with the National Flood Insurance Program. Quite often, things that are in the basement, though, are covered to a very limited amount, and they do have large deductibles on both building and contents, and normally they do not cover the additional living expense, whereas a traditional homeowner's policy would.
What can we do now to help alleviate the threat of any flooding?
Well, if there's anything that you're able to do with sandbags or to move items to higher ground, get them up on the first floor or second floor if you could, to do what you can to try to stop damage from occurring, that's always advisable to do.
Now, I know some homeowners may have to buy separate flood insurance. How helpful can that be?
Well, with the National Flood Insurance Program, there's a lot of things, like I said, that their policies just don't cover. A lot of general contents you'd have in the basement, if your basement's finished, quite often that's not going to be covered. But if you have a devastating water loss, like we've seen in the hurricane zones, where it damages the first or even, God forbid, the second floor of your home, then it's quite helpful. But if you just have water in the basement, what the National Flood Insurance Program will cover, in my opinion, is rather insignificant. All homeowners should look at it to see if it's prudent to have in their area. If you're in an area that's not that susceptible to flooding, then the premium isn't as high as if it were in a low-lying area. But as I say, with the National Flood Insurance Program, as to what they cover, is nowhere near as broad as what you'd have under a homeowner's policy. But if you have a real flood where water enters through groundwater and enters your home or offices that way, then the only real coverage you would have, except in very rare circumstances, through the private sector, is with the National Flood Insurance Program, or what they call the write your own policies through FEMA. It's their obligation to try to make sure that they're maintaining heat in the house or their offices. And if they're out of town, if they're in Florida or Carolinas or wherever, they should have somebody at least once a week, if not more often, check the house to be sure that the heat is on. If you don't take reasonable precautions to maintain heat in your dwelling and a water line breaks, you could very well have a problem with insurance coverage, even if you're paying the gas bill or the oil bill or whatever it happens to be. So you just want to make certain that you're taking proper precautions and you're having the home checked if you're not in residence periodically to make certain that the heat is still on.
How could a flood watch like this convince them to make me take a second look at their insurance policy if ice jam flooding, things like this, are covered?
Yes, the problem with flood is the only people that really buy it are ones that if they're in an area that is susceptible to flooding, or if they have a mortgage and the mortgagee requires it.
Stay tuned to WBEN. Follow us on Twitter at News Radio 930 and download the radio.com app and favorite us to keep up to date on the flooding threat as this warm-up continues.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.